Another week down for Fear the Walking Dead and the Walking Dead World Beyond, which means it's my favorite time of week. It's time for the Fear the Walking Dead World Beyond podcast. It's myself, Josh Wigler, joined here by the great Jessica Leese. Jess, how's it going?
Josh, I've prepared a little shadow play that we're all going to have to stop down and watch before we continue on.
We'll get the swelling emotional music queued up for that shadow puppetry. Chappelle, the legendary Chappelle. I barely recognized you with that spooky The Purge mask that you rolled out to the podcast wearing.
Okay, I'll admit, I did maybe jump and yell when I saw that happened. When he looked through the window and saw the Purge mask, maybe an adult man might have yelled a little bit.
It's all right.
Probably the scariest thing that's happened for me this season, you know.
It was a little upsetting that, like, here we are a decade or so into the apocalypse and people are still wearing Purge masks. Cool. That's great. That's awesome. That's exciting. That's Fear the Walking Dead. And of course, the shadow puppetry of an episode literally called Shadow Puppets, I believe, on World Beyond.
Maybe.
Yeah. It's Shadow Puppets on The Walking Dead World Beyond. As we have a couple of new characters added to the roster, including what's his name? This like suave young.
Thank you, Chappelle. Because I was watching the episode before Josh had a chance to see it, and he said, "Oh, just text me what's going on in the episode, and I want to hear your reactions to it." And for three quarters of that episode, I'm like, who is that guy? Who the hell is that? Where have I seen him? What the hell? And I finally managed to Google. I managed to Google up a list of guest stars, and then I see the name. I'm like, it's frickin' Pete from 30 Rock.
Yeah, I was in the 30 Rock guy. So this is, I wish I could join in on the celebration here, but it seems like we're happy to have him on the show, or no, we don't like
sure.
having him on.
I like him. He's fine.
I have an opinion. We can save it for later.
Ooh.
His name is Owen Berger?
Hornberger. Yeah.
Hornberger.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, Hornberger is here, and his nephew, whose name is escaping me.
Percy.
Yeah. The lightning thief himself has shown up.
Who in the 2010s is named Percy?
I don't know. It's probably named after the Lightning Thief. Big fan of the Logan Lerman movie.
Or the Weasley brother who
It's defected. True. Could be. Lots of Percys to name your kid after. So we'll talk World Beyond. We'll talk Fear of the Walking Dead. Let's switch it up this week. Maybe let's talk World Beyond first since we're already on it. I'd be happy to get in on some World Beyond shenanigans because I don't know. As Jess said, I did say, can you just like live tweet me your takes as you're going here? So I'm trying to scroll back and see some of your...
This is what we have instead of notes.
Yeah.
You had to get in on this text, right?
It was good. Yeah, we'll start the group thread, but there was some great stuff. Confirmation, Elton is named after Elton John. You were really pumped about the fact that zombies are now being called has-beens.
It's better to be a has-been than a never was.
You said that the guy who's playing Percy is a dollar store Jeremy Sisto, speaking of Elton. What else do we have here? This dude's eyebrows are amazing. Can confirm, great eyebrows.
Yes.
That's pretty good. Elton can't stop talking about his mom to Hope, who is like, please, can we talk about something else for reasons?
And Elton's like, no.
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 What else is there's a zombie doing an impression of the giant worm in the trash compactor from Star Wars A New Hope. Jess continues, none of this makes sense because if someone really stole a truck, wouldn't they drive all night to get away from the pursuers? And all of these texts were happening with me having zero context of the episode. So my first experience of shadow puppets was like a shadow puppet text thread from Jess, which I gotta say was a really enjoyable way to experience The Walking Dead before watching.
Well, Josh, aren't the people that listen to this show without watching the series basically getting the equivalent of that?
This is what I suggest, Chappelle, for people, for the podcast moving forward. One of us watches the episode and then tells us what happened in the episode.
It's like telephone.
And we tell the people who haven't watched the episode our filtered opinion of what happened in the episode. It's like third hand is how you're walking that intel.
I'll raise the stakes a little bit. Instead of us telling them, we can have a shadow puppet video release instead. So you tell me what you think. And then I do this little thing with my hands and make a doggy.
Yeah.
And then I make a birdie.
Yeah.
And
then wow.
Yeah, exactly. I'm pretty good.
Who's you?
Yeah. I've got a cricket machine. I don't have a cartridge for zombies, but I could probably get one.
Oh, man.
Yeah. We might have a plan.
All right, so some shadow puppetry on The Walking Dead World Beyond this week. I'll do my best to summarize the storyline. I think this has become my job at the start of each segment, right? Let's just like get everybody on the same page. This is what happened in the episode. So basically what happens is this dude, Percy's like, hey, I'm the guy who was sort of the secret boogeyman from last week, and I'm just a kid named Percy. But it's like when Dean showed up on Rugrats and everyone was enamored of Dean. It's like, oh, here's the cool kid all of a sudden. Everyone wants to hear his stories about his car and his trips across the country and all of this stuff. They're like, wait a minute, you still have the car. You still got access to the car. And so it's like, maybe I do. And so they all go on like an epic quest to find the car. But there's some hijinks afoot. There's Percy's uncle, who I guess we're calling Hornberger because I didn't catch his name.
Hornberger's
here.
His name is Tony because they talk Tony. About a Mike and a Tony, and there is no Mike. There's just a Tony.
Look, my name's Tony. I was a gambler. Tony the Great in Las Vegas. Yeah. Tony the Magician. Look at my bag of tricks. Tony who has a makeup on lock, Chappelle, cause like he's got it to the point where he can convincingly paint a single red dot on like his forehead with a little bit of a trickle, to convince Felix, an expert level guard of the university, into believing that this man is deceased. And it makes me feel like surprisingly enough, in this world of The Walking Dead, none of these people have ever seen like an actual dead human being other than a zombie, because it's so unconvincing and yet it works.
Yeah, I have a lot of opinions about Felix not being able to suss that out.
Felix is pretty sus this week himself, because he should have known,
but he only talks in like military strategy. So he's telling Elton at one point, hey, listen, flank to the left and do this, that, other. Sir, Elton doesn't know what you're talking about. Or he'll say, like, he'll secure the perimeter. Tell those kids to go look in the trees and stop playing. But all of a sudden, when there's actual combat to be had, or like, you know, training that would have, this training would have come in handy, he can't even tell that this is a fake bullet wound.
No.
Shenanigans.
Shenanigans.
Left and right. Shenanigans
left and right. And like, Iris, who has, you know, been like kind of like, or she and Silas seem like they've been kind of a thing. Cyrus has been a thing. And now Iris seems to be like, yeah, but Percy, wow, really interested in knowing a little bit more. And Iris is going to go and like check out what's going on inside the building that they're going in. She's going to find out that Percy's not exactly who he says he is. And Tony is going to pop out of his spy shack, and he's still alive, and he hijacks this truck. And I don't understand, like, what was the whole point of, was it literally just to get their bags? They were just like doing some like convoluted, Siegfried and Roy to like get their bags. Like, that was the whole point.
It was all a giant ruse to capture Big Mo.
Big Mo. Did we get confirmation yet? Did anyone, no one else wants to go back either.
All of you.
Yeah.
People asked me some questions about Big Mo on Twitter, but they were not appropriate for this podcast.
Okay.
so I will leave them out, but you know who you are, and I know you're listening. But if you could.
You should be very ashamed of yourself.
Yeah.
Right. Family podcast.
Exactly. And you didn't do the one assignment. Could you please go back and find out if Big Mo is with us at this point? Because he almost got kidnapped this week. I'm just saying.
If Big Mo is still with us, we almost lost Big Mo this week.
I'm going to go with Big Mo is not with us. And here is why. Because they would have yanked everybody's bags and put them in the truck. And they would have been like, geez, what do you got in your bowling ball? Why do you need all this stuff?
And they'd be like, yeah, literally, we have a bowling ball. Its name is Big Mo. It's sort of our mascot. So Tony is able to get all the bags with ease. He doesn't even need Silas to drag everything and put it in the truck, as Silas's job typically lends him to do. And he's about to drive off, and then Iris chases after Percy. There's a little bit of light parkour as they're escaping the rooftop, and she falls into the trash and has just texted me out of context. Yeah, it's like the thing that drags Luke Skywalker down into the trash pits, except it's a zombie, and she's like about to get eaten, and then they save her in the nick of time. And then Tony and Percy are like, get in the truck. We don't want anyone to die. We don't kill anyone. We just steal from people. We just concoct elaborate cons.
We just steal all their stuff and then they starve to death, but that's not really on us.
Yeah. Like a bullet to the head would be nicer in this world. Jeez. And so they pick them up, and I guess like, so now we're going to be a team. And they're like, we're so sorry about everything. We feel really bad. We feel bad. Can we do something? Can we do some shadow puppets? Can we get back on message? Can we all be on the same team? And so, yeah, Chappelle, who's right now, he's shadow puppeting some dogs. He's got a he's got a bird / butterfly. Chappelle, at some point, if you'd like to turn the lights off and shine a flashlight on, I think that would be really good. And so this is like what you see at the start of the episode, right? It's the framing device, Jess. We begin and we end with what, again, from out of context land, just described to me as. So this episode begins with the Deathly Hallows sequence. So it's already a winner. And so we end with the Deathly Hallows sequence as this beautiful music is rising in the background and everyone is at peace. And it's this wonderful moment and everyone is taking a minute to finally feel like, oh, there's still good in this world. There's still beauty in this world. Friends, hope, we can do this. Little do they remember that these guys did just try to like steal all their shit. But I guess they're all friends now and they're going to continue on their merry way together. So we've got Percy and Tony as part of the gang. That's basically the episode, except for a post-credit scene where Sandwich Lady is back, not eating a sandwich this time. She's not eating a sandwich this time. I don't really know what Sandwich Lady was up to, Jess. She was just like talking to people. Useless post-credit scene, I would say.
Yeah, it was just like, I was complaining last week we didn't get post-credits, and this week they're like, okay, we'll throw you a bone and you can have Sandwich Lady talking on the phone.
Yeah.
All right.
It's like they filmed all of this in COVID, like quarantine. They're like, these are all scenes that we can film. We just need one person. But they're not doing anything. Just hanging out and looking at through plexiglass. That's it.
I feel like I'm watching like the Big Brother feeds.
Yeah.
It's just a lady with a sandwich.
Yeah.
And the sandwich is gone.
This is the first time I saw the post-credit scene, and I was pleasantly surprised. I actually enjoyed it. Because for me, it kind of solidified that Huck is like narking them out, right? Because the sandwich lady seems to be completely aware of these people's whereabouts right now. She's like, they're on the way. We'll let you know when they get here. Everything's going to be fine. Don't worry. Their dad's not even worried. We have letters and all these things from them. And I'm like, how do you have this information? They're wearing a tracking device. And then I thought about it. Huck. She came down the river.
Huck.
Get him. It's Huck.
We
didn't immediately missing all episodes.
We did not see Huck at all this week.
Yeah, because Huck was off on a side quest.
Yeah, Huck was making phone calls. Huck was
Huck is like, I gotta go somewhere and do a thing for reasons. And they're like, okay, bye, see you later.
Huck got like 5 minutes away from camp and like pulled out her somehow still functioning iPhone and just was texting with Sandwich Lady for the entire episode. And all of these dummies are too dumb to like go 5 minutes in the other direction to see that that's what Huck was doing. But Huck was just like chilling on the river, just like making phone calls and just like playing like hearts on her phone, waiting for responses.
Yeah, just snitching.
Yeah. Huck's the bad guy. Huck's whether or not she's a bad guy or at least like she's a turncoat here. Like she's definitely working both sides. There's zero question about that. That reveal is coming and we're going to be like, oh yeah, we called that 2 episodes ago. At least. Mm-hmm. That's like going to be the season finale big reveal as Huck's a bad guy. We're like, yeah, we knew.
Duh.
Yeah. We got that.
We've been here, you know, where were you?
Yeah. Yeah. So I agree, Chappelle. I think that becomes pretty clear to me, both like by like her absence in this episode and the fact that Sandwich Lady is like, oh, they're like a few weeks out. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, watch sounds like
they have a car now. So
yeah,
they're dead. Get here quicker.
Their next move seems to be, so they've got the car, but like next week, is it going to be like the let's get gas episode?
I think so.
It's like, we need gas.
Didn't Percy say that they're stuck in that area because they know one place where you can get gas? They're like, oh, so next week is going to be the Road Warrior episode.
Mm-hmm.
They're just going to smuggle all the gas out inside the truck.
They need the gas.
Sorry,
it's going to be It's going to be like it's going to be like the Breaking Bad episode with the train heist.
Yes.
Yeah. So they have to go and they have to get all the gas is what it's going to come down to. And Percy and Tony, do we think that like this is a continued part of their long con? Do we think that they've got other tomfoolery up their sleeves, or do they think that they're do we think they're really part of the family now?
No, I think they're con artists, right? They can't not be con artists just because they like these kids a little bit.
Yeah.
And so it would be obtuse to believe that they are just like they are giving it all away, especially because what Hornberger says, you know, I'm a magician. This is what I do, you know. And so why would you trust this guy? You have no reason to trust him. You honestly be better off just stealing the car. But they won't. But, you know, at some point you have to be looking at these two people as they've been self-interested for this long. Why would they care about you?
You know what I love? I love when he's talking to Elton and Elton's like, oh, what kind of magician are you? Close up magic? Like, very good.
Yeah, he's like, sleight of hand. How did you know?
How did you know, Elton? Sweet little guy.
Yeah. Yes, Elton with another car. He's so smart.
I do large scale illusions. That's what I keep in the truck. Let me go get my disappearing box.
Yeah.
Not sleight of hand per se, but definitely hand puppets. Yeah. You know, shadow puppets. That's kind of what I made my money on in Vegas. It's why I'm unemployed today.
Can we just talk for a second about the shadow puppet scene? Because what's really funny is that we watched, I also have been covering Star Trek Discovery for post-show recaps. And I don't know what the Venn diagram is of people that listen to me talk about Walking Dead and people that listen to me talk about Star Trek Discovery, but both of these shows this week ended on pretty much the same scene, which is like, it is a direct ripoff of the classic film Sullivan's Travels, which I don't expect either of you to have seen.
I've heard of Gulliver's Travels.
Yeah. Sullivan's Travels is a very different movie. I highly recommend it. It's very fun.
No giant people.
There's no tiny people. No, everybody is the same size. Okay. You know, with like regular variations of height. Yep. And it's kind of a sort of a road trip movie scenario with Veronica Lake is in it and she is fantastic. But there's a scene where they are showing these people, these Great Depression, like poverty stricken working class people watching a movie. And it's a funny movie. And for a second, like all of their troubles are forgotten as just close ups of them experiencing
wonder,
the movie.
Magic.
And
that,
yeah, the healing power of entertainment. And they closed both Star Trek Discovery and Walking Dead World Beyond with this same Sullivan's Travels tribute slash ripoff. And yeah. I guess it's an interesting thing to do. And it speaks to like everything around you is terrible, but you can still be entertained and like forget your troubles for a minute. And it's a powerful message, but it was weird to have that message twice in this particular week of all things.
Chappelle, what's the value of shadow puppetry in the apocalypse, you think? Pretty high? Like, are we doing podcasts about shadow puppet shows in the in the apocalypse?
Absolutely not. I don't want to see this. I'm not going to lie. This was the least entertaining thing that I watched this season this is Hornberger. This is, as far as I'm concerned, this is Sideshow Bob. I thought he was about to come out and do something funny. Or at least Sideshow Mill. But I thought he was going to do something funny or some magic. He says, let me entertain you. And then he does this really somber story of, you know, like you said, of wonder and hope. And not the main character, Hope, you know? So we're just kind of, I didn't like it.
Would have been great if he came up and did like a tight five on the state of the zombie apocalypse.
He was just like, and now for some entertainment. Yeah. And then the least entertaining thing he can find. I mean, he legit, like, and here I am about to entertain you. So I was, okay, well, let's see what he does. And this is it.
Walker, I barely knew her.
What is the deal with these has-beens?
Yeah, like, I think it would have been good to do, like, some stand-up would have been all right by me. I agree. It's just like, it was too somber. It's like, man, we're already depressed. Like,
right.
We don't need that. We don't need that.
Mm-hmm.
What's
especially
the deal?
This ragtag group of kids in like homemade leather. That's what he called them. It's like, is that what you want to give them? That's this is what you want to present. If this is where we start, does he have like multiple shows? is this his main act? Like, this is it. This was the finale. And then tomorrow there's no entertainment and he's back to being like a normal person eating our beans.
Yeah. He's on his day off. Yeah. It was interesting that the show like made fun of the costuming of the World Beyonders as if like that's not them making fun of themselves. Yeah. You dressed them up. You put them in this leather, you know? I don't know what you wanted.
Yeah. I have a lot of questions for the costumers in both of these franchises.
It's like sort of like the burgundy leather. Isn't that like what Felix is wearing? He's like kind of got like a maroon leather. It's kind of nice. I kind of like that, actually. I think I could rock that. With like the three rings and the burgundy leather suit, you think I'd probably look pretty good?
I think so. You can pull it off.
Yeah, I think so. Just need like maybe like a size bigger. Otherwise, it's going to really hug and it's going to be awkward. Hug!
oh, no.
I don't like this Percy. I want Percy off the show. I don't like this at all. I feel like he's disrupting the energy that we've got with our Power Four.
A Cyrus shipper, Josh.
I don't want any threats to my to sweet Silas. I love Elton, but Silas too, man. Like Silas is like he's good. He just carries all the stuff. He does it without complaint. He's always there for Iris. He's like it would be too much. You know, I don't want to scare anybody, so I'll never give you any emotion until it's time. I've got two modes: no emotion or full emotion. And full emotion is me typically beating the crap out of Elton, throwing him across the room. So I'm just going to give you nothing. And I appreciate
really
that.
Is he knows the odor of the series.
He feels he knows the room. He knows where he's at. And if he doesn't like Percy, if Silas doesn't trust Percy, I don't trust Percy at all.
I had an issue with Silas in this episode.
What, did he have one job?
Yes, he became crappy all over again. They go, okay. Here's the plan. I'm going to go inside. You two look out. You stay here and Silas, guard the bags. What? That's it? He's the biggest person. Take him with you. That is your backup. That's who you want. You're like, okay, Elton, you have my back. Look, Elton, really? Okay, fine. No, I didn't like it at all. Maybe they left him back because they knew he wasn't going to be very helpful because he hates Percy. I tried to give him so much credit. Like, you know, he just sees through the con, right? Like, Silas just knows. But then ultimately, Silas just is a little, he doesn't
maybe,
like the
maybe
Percy
the,
moving in on the Iris thing.
Maybe the logic is, Silas, guard the bags. If it looks like you're in trouble and there are things coming for the bags, grab all of the bags and meet us out front. And like, he could do it. Like, he could grab all the bags. He could put like a bunch over his shoulders. He could put one strap in his mouth. He could like hold like six bags in each hand and he'd be able to get. So like, he is like probably the person that you need on bag duty just because he would have the highest chance of protecting as many bags as possible. He's able to do it.
You would think so, but when it came time.
No, he screwed up big. Yeah.
And we see him running and screaming, they're stealing our stuff. And Elton says, the dead guy? Because that's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah. Like, ooh, I thought Tony, Mike, I thought these people were dead. And it's like, they're stealing our stuff.
Yeah. Like, Tony's like, you guys make nice. I'm going to go get the truck. And then he got in the truck and he took off.
It was a great moment.
Yeah, great moment for Tony. So what's up with Hornberger? So why do we have an issue with Tony Hornberger?
Yeah, I got to hear this. Yeah.
No, that's just my thing, right? I can't unsee him as Pete Hornberger. See, Josh,
what was Hornberger's deal? I don't know 30 Rock at all.
He's pretty much a clown of a person, almost. Yeah.
He's the director of the show within the show. And he has a really sad personal life outside of the show. And so he's kind of like the butt monkey of the series. Like, everybody makes fun of him constantly and bags on him
the entire time. And so when I saw him, all I could think was Hornberger, because I just had this like visceral reaction to him because he's literally the butt of the joke for so long. Then now that he's here, I can't take him seriously. Also, he talks like a magician throughout the episode. So he's always like, and now feast your eyes on this. And it's just like, okay, thanks. You know,
he's a little extra.
Okay.
Yeah. And he's extra like that in 30 Rock. And it seems like he's translating right into this character just fine. So I'm excited to see what we do with Hornberger, but I wasn't excited to see him.
It is worth noting that this actor has not done a whole lot. He's from the Second City improv scene and has had a lot of small roles on shows that feature other people from that scene who have gotten much more famous. But his one big acting credit is 30 Rock, and he did six episodes of Mr. Show, which is a show that's near and dear to my heart. But you're only ever going to know him as this one very big role.
He's the voice of Baymax from Big Hero 6. That's right.
Yes.
So that's a big role. Maybe Tony is going to be the Baymax of the Walking Dead world beyond, where he's just like going to take all these kids. He's going to be like an inflatable raft for them.
Isn't Silas really more shaped like Baymax?
I don't know. I mean, like, he's been taking on Baymax-ish roles. Maybe Tony's here for the job. He's like, I got this. And another reason for Silas to feel bothered by Tony and Percy.
Maybe that's his problem with
Chappelle. Are Tony and Percy here for the long haul, or are they here to get killed?
So I thought about this, and I was, because I'm wondering how long I'm stuck with Hornberger, but also Percy. You know, he's kind of in that mold of, you know, the, like you said, Dean from the Rugrats. He rides in on his big wheel.
Dean.
Yeah, exactly. It's in his hand. You know, and so I was thinking, like, dude, you can't keep Dean around in Rugrats. Like, Angelica cannot be in love with this kid, and neither can Iris. You can't function with this kid around. So I'm thinking that we might be getting rid of him at some point. But then I also thought back to Walking Dead proper. We had like a initial cast of like 12 people. You know, there was everyone was there. Laurie and there was just like 5 people, you know? And so in my mind, they could use a couple more people. That gives them more little side quests that they can do. We also, you know, think Huck is a bad guy. So assuming we're going to lose Huck to the other side at some point, we're going to need a team of support around these, you know, 3 kids and Felix. And so in my mind, that's what I brought him in.
Do you suppose Huck murders one of them after they discover her terrible secret?
Oh, my God.
Here's what's going to happen. Huck is going to frame Percy. She's going to frame Percy and sick Silas on Percy. And Silas is going to go full Silas on Percy. And Silas is going to kill Percy. And then everyone's gonna be like, Silas, why'd you do it? And he's like, he was a traitor. Here's the evidence. They're like, no, it was Huck. And then Silas is going to find out that it was Huck. And he's going to feel real bad.
Yep.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
We should write this. Why aren't they calling us?
I don't know. Maybe we did. Maybe we're going to find out that we time traveled and wrote Walking Dead World Beyond.
You know, Josh, I feel like if I had access to a time machine,
that's not what you would do with it.
I would do something way more useful than go back and get a job writing Walking Dead.
I don't know. I'm pretty happy with my future self for doing this because I'm loving life right now. This is great. I'm having a great time. So, you know,
we're having fun in here.
Yeah, that future version of ourselves gave our past selves, who are our present selves, a lot of laughs.
Okay. We can be more responsible with that, but we're not.
Hopefully we're doing other stuff with it too. I mean, don't get me wrong. It feels like we could kind of just like, you know, we write this and talk about it. Type 5 probably takes us like 5 hours to do the season and then we move on.
Well, especially since we know what happens up to this point.
Yeah. So it's good. It's good. Is there anything else from World Beyond you guys want to talk about? This is fine. It was fine. This is not my favorite. Yeah. I think it was probably my least favorite episode of the show so far.
Yeah.
Shadow Puppets, cool. Percy, douche. Tony, maybe fun. I don't know.
I liked it more than you did, Josh. And I think that's just because I was ready for some fresh blood.
Yeah. Mm.
I do want more people on this show, and I want them to not be 15 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I recognize I'm probably not the target audience for this program, but I'm also tired of teenager problems.
Yeah. Also, it's not your fault you're not the target audience for this program, because this is coming on during primetime television. Well, you've talked about this before. Why are you aiming this at us if you don't want us to like it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you don't want us to make fun of it, why are you aiming it at us?
Right. Why do you want us to watch it if you don't want me to laugh at it? What are you talking about? I like this episode. I liked Percy, but I liked him almost like in spite of himself. So I like the idea that I like the grift, right? I like the idea that this was the con artist, right? And so even when his stories were not lining up, I liked the story. Like, it was a cold day in Wyoming. I was like, a cold day in Wyoming? Tell us more. You know, I heard a buffalo walk by. It was the most
beautiful. Yeah.
I was like, this kid has the best stories.
I was like, there's still buffalo out there. Are you kidding me?
Buffalo, wow.
Yeah.
And I was like, I thought you were in Florida. He's like, yeah, I did. I rode a buffalo.
Okay. So, look at Hope. Look at Hope, who's like, I'm going to absolve myself of my guilt over killing your mother by helping you finish your mother's book, which means she's like going to redeem what she did to Elton's mom by co-bylining her book. That feels like some dark bullshit. Like, that just doesn't feel right at all.
Yeah. Oh, we got some feedback actually that we should talk
about the manuscript
on this actual subject, not directly on the manuscript, but we did get some listener feedback on this topic, and I'm going to find it.
Okay. Cause yeah. I thought that was, I don't know. I feel like that's not the right thing to do. Like you either come clean or you're just like, yeah, you know, good luck with the book. Let's not talk about it anymore.
Okay. Here we go. All right. This comes from Karen C. from Los Angeles, and she just sent this in. So she has very good timing, because if we were recording at our usual time, it would have been too late. So she says, hi, guys. I'm an episode behind, so maybe this got sorted, or maybe you can clear this up for me. I feel like the fact that Elton's mom totally shot Hope and Iris's mom in front of Hope for no reason other than she wanted the car gets swept under the rug. Hope's mom even retreats when Elton's mom says she's taking the car, and then she shoots her anyway. So Hope shoots that bee that shot and killed her mom. Everyone is like, what will happen when Elton finds out? Well, he will find out his mom killed their mom. That's my beef.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, I guess that's fair, is that it's like the Han and Greedo thing. Who shot first?
Mm-hmm.
Whose mom shot first?
That's valid.
My mom will shoot.
I mean, it's valid, but that's not going to make Elton understand any more than he already doesn't understand. You know, he's like, your mom killed my mom. It's like, okay, but you killed my mom.
Yeah. Is there a world in which Elton...
Yeah, but I was seven.
Is there a world in which Elton comes to, like, be at a place with this where he's like, you know, this is pretty messed up. That being said, killer ending for the book. Like, what it's worth.
The person that killed her finished the book.
Yeah, like I could, as an appreciator of the fine arts and sciences, I can appreciate that this is a heck of a twist.
Yeah, you're right. If Elton can step aside from his own trauma and just look at it as a artifact, maybe. Yeah, he can say, hey, this is a good story. This is some good stuff here. Yeah. And he can even, you know, maybe if he gets his revenge, he can write that into the story too.
Could.
Like, yeah, like she finished the story and then I finished her. And now look, we're done.
Yeah.
Life.
Anything else from World Beyond before we move into Fear?
Percy can proofread the novel. You know, he's read Hamlet.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
You know? Yeah. Or maybe that was part of the persona. Maybe he hasn't read Hamlet. I'd be more betrayed if I found out he did it, because I already had my clueless joke lined up for that. Cause I remember Hamlet accurately, and that was not him. That was
That's
him.
Right.
I think I remember Mel Gibson accurately.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah, so when I heard that, I was like, why are you doing this? We were going to go one episode without going tie, and now we can't.
Yeah. Well, they'd had to make it worse by bringing in, like, this low-rent version of Jeremy Sisto.
Yeah, exactly. So they've gone ahead and they've done that. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back talking Fear the Walking Dead. All right, Fear the Walking Dead this week. It's all about that honey. That's the name of the episode, honey. I feel like it's a sugary sweet name for this week's episode, which is a little sour, right? Because it's all about how he's been. It starts sweet. It's a reunion. We've got Dwight and Sherry are back together and everything is great. And then it's suddenly it's like, what's the horror movie with Ben Covington from Felicity, with the home invasion, The Strangers.
The Strangers, yeah.
It's like that. Yeah. And it's only a home invasion and they're getting home invaded. And it turns out that she was in on it. And she's like, no, the home invaders are cool. I'm one of them. And they're all wearing like Friday the 13th masks slash like, more accurately, maybe they all look like that serial killer from that one season of Nip Tuck. And they all they have these weird little like scary like masks that they all seem to have like they're like gendered too. Like they're like, it's like pretty like organized for the apocalypse rather than like everyone, like, especially for a bunch of people who were all like brought together because they're Virginia exiles, but they didn't all get exiled at the same time. But maybe the first exile was like, yeah, I make masks.
Put a pin in this, Josh. I'm going to come back to it and I'm going to get mad. So, continue.
So they made
a Spirit Halloween store and now
I got masks. If anyone needs masks,
anybody needs a mask, I got them.
I got masks. I'm the mask person. So it turns out that they're like, they're the resistance, right? They are, they're
La Resistance.
They are Virginia's ops, these people. And they're trying to get one back over on Virginia. And right now they've got, speaking of ops, an opportunity to hijack the Owlmobile, that they've got Al's SWAT car, targeted, and they can go and do it. And speaking of the Breaking Bad heist. Yeah. What I believe was a really genuinely compelling action scene. Like it's like the Wild Wild West on horseback. They're riding
stagecoach.
They stick them up, you know, and they get on and they're able to get the thing and the guy escapes. And they're like, oh no, the guy escaped. And then Morgan's like, ah, not so fast. I'm here. So Morgan shows up and he's got the guy. And so now they're going to come up with this plan of like, oh, well, we've got the truck. We're going to lure Virginia out and we're going to kill her. And everyone's like, oh, I don't know about this. And Morgan's like, it's totally cool to kill Virginia. I'm good with killing people again. Can we just talk about timing? Can we schedule this? Can we all just like coordinate our Google calendars together so that everyone makes sure that the timing is right? I'm trying to build a thing and I don't think it'll build well if we kill Virginia right now, because if we get this wrong, she's going to kill all the people we care about. I care about some people here. You guys care about some people here. And they're like, yeah, we do, but we'd also rather kill Virginia. So the plan is like going into overdrive and Sherry is like, Dwight, I need you to get out of my way. I have to, we can't let Negan, I mean, Virginia do it again. And so they get into a bit of a lover's quarrel and Dwight gets into a fight with Morgan and everybody. And he ends up getting locked up with Morgan and everybody while she goes ahead and does her thing. And Dwight eventually is like, all right, honey, I'm free from this thing that you threw me into. And I'm trying to tell you, you shouldn't do it. Negan's not here anymore. It's not a risk. You don't have to become him. And she's like, and she doesn't do it. And so they had a chance to kill some of Virginia's hench people. They don't kill the hench people, but Sherry now needs some space. She's like, Dwight, I need a minute. I don't think you and I are, we need to take it slow and you need to get out of here. And so Dwight, after all this time of searching for Sherry, has found her, but they have at least are they broken up? Is it just a hiatus? We were on a break. But then he goes back with Morgan and all of the people from the skyscraper, the office building and Al, and they're going to go and help Morgan build whatever he's building. And Dwight's going to graffiti a truck to let Sherry know where they've been in case she wants to follow. And that's the episode in a nutshell.
Yeah. You found the hot sauce, but you forgot the fork.
Yeah.
In the words of Sherry, I didn't know what she was talking about.
I think she's a literal hot sauce and a literal fork. Sauce.
Yeah. That was her last words to Dwight before he got kidnapped. Hey, babe, you forgot the fork.
Maybe he didn't forget the fork. Maybe she just like hid the fork so he would go and get kidnapped.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, no, I didn't, dummy. God.
She could have just like been like, hey, so I got to tell you, I'm part of a crew. We wear masks. Yeah. And they are interested in knowing more about you, and they may be a little aggressive. Just a heads up. Like, I think it's pretty messed up that she didn't give him the heads up at all.
Well, I think she was probably going to just kidnap him outright, but then she's like, well, it's been a long time, and maybe I should get something for myself before I turn him in.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't want to leave Dwight to his devices for so long. Dwight is giving me big Rick Grimes like vibes now. He's very much a by any means necessary type person now. So he's inches away from shooting a guy in the face. Like, tell me where my wife in the Batman voice. Like, tell me where my wife is. And then like, she's like, no, wait, don't do that. Like, well, ma'am, you could have prevented this. You knew this was coming. You did know this was coming, right? Like, you've been part of the La Resistance for a very long time. So you had to know they were going to come kidnap me eventually. But she's not giving him enough credit.
I have a lot of issues with La Resistance.
Yes.
A lot of issues. This makes no sense.
First of all, no punch and pie. I was told there would be punch and pie.
Well, that's for starters. And second of all, maybe my issue is because I don't understand the way Virginia works, because Virginia doesn't make any sense either. But okay. They said, oh, yeah, Virginia kicked us out because we weren't good enough to live under her roof. And I'm like, I thought the whole thing about Virginia was she didn't kick people out. She made them stay. Mm. And it's not like these guys aren't useful because they're all pretty buff and they're all pretty good at being evil. Like, we saw that guy before.
Yeah.
And it's like, we're going to take these allegedly able-bodied.
Stone Cold Steve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to take these allegedly able-bodied, intelligent people and we're just going to say, nah, no, thank you.
Peace out.
Go do your own thing. That's not what Virginia does. So I don't understand how there's this like whole island of misfit toys out there. It's like, oh, we got rejected by Virginia and we're butthurt, so we're going to try to take her down. And then not only is there this resistance, they're not interested in recruiting people to join the resistance. They're like, yeah, it's kind of hard to make it into the outcast group. You know, we're the cool kids. It's like saying, it's like you're over at your nerd table and the popular kids want to come sit with you. And you're like, no, we're cool. You can't come join us. You know, right. You have to work a little bit harder to be a nerd.
Yeah. I agree with this.
That's kind of some bottled up something from my past.
I wasn't gonna needle that aspect of it, but you did say it, not me.
I'm allowed to say it.
Yeah.
I agree with Jess though. It doesn't make sense, especially the part that they don't really want any extra people because they're like, you worked for Virginia.
Like, we all worked for Virginia.
But you weren't fired. It's like, well, okay, but I'm here now, so you know.
Yeah, is there like some sort of like bitter rivalry between like? We were let go from employment with Virginia. He's like, yeah, but I want to quit. Yeah, but you get the luxury of quitting. We didn't get the choice. So
check your privilege, guy.
Yeah, that might be a piece of it. I don't know.
Yeah, she can't fire you because you quit.
Yeah, so you're never, you're in some middle zone here where our shared experience is not exactly shared.
Not exactly
yeah,
shared.
It didn't make sense to me at all. It was just one of those things, like you said, how did they get here? Like, when did she start exiling full like crews of people who could usurp her? That's not her thing. Like, she's like some deception, disgrace, and like sending them out to live in God knows where. And then they like, oh well, we should get revenge. Well, duh. So it just seems like a half baked plan for her.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Like,
well, I guess we'll kill her.
Strong, able-bodied people don't want you. Why don't you go live somewhere else?
Go live in the skate park with Travis.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Go get a dog and live in the skate park and have a million guns. But hey, please don't come back and kill me. That would suck.
Yeah.
Is this what she needs the army for? Is this
what she,
yeah, she worried about them?
Is she
worried about, is she worried about the strangers? La Resistance?
If she was worried, why didn't she just kill him?
Yeah.
she could have just did the thing. That's
James Bond villain level. Like, why don't you just kill him?
Yeah. Why don't you kill him? Yeah. I don't. Is this what she needs the army for, really?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I thought she needed the army for Morgan, but. Right.
And I guess she does because we don't know what Morgan's building, but it's a place.
It's a place. Right? It's a place.
How does one build a place?
So here's where I'm seeing it right now, and let me know if you think this is the battlefield. So there's Virginia and all of her various Virginian compounds, Law and Order. There's Morgan, who's building a place, and now he's got Al and Dwight and the skyscraper crew and his dog and baby Morgan. Then there's the La Resistance. There's the strangers, right? But then there's also the people who came after Morgan last week looking for the key. And so is that a contingent as well? So are there four contingents on the menu?
Hey, Josh, your other cat is behind you.
Yes, I see my cat is trying to escape. So I leave the question to you, and you can resolve it while I resolve my cat issues.
Well, Jess, I have a question. I guess for a second, I thought that maybe they needed the key to one of those MRAPs. What was it, the mine resistant? Well,
isn't that the only MRAP? Like, that's Al's original vehicle.
Yeah.
So just stealing it back.
I was trying to figure out how this... So Al's just been chilling with the MRAP?
Yeah, well, she drove it around, like, doing journalism for a really long time. And then it got taken from her last season.
Mm-hmm.
And now Virginia has it.
Yes, and now they have it because of the Stagecoach robbery.
Yeah.
Which, that was, I don't want to say shenanigans again, but come on. This MRAP has these big, huge guns, and you're telling me you got, like, hijacked by some people on horses? I don't know. He could have just ran them over.
Yeah, this didn't make any sense. It's like some great train robbery shenanigans. I will say, I think the guy driving the van probably had the best deal because it looked like it was a lot of fun to do donuts in that SWAT van.
Oh, yes. He was drifting. You could tell. He was having the time of his life. And
yeah, there was like some Tokyo Drift business up there.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of that whole scene just because it just seems so unrealistic. Like, you gave me the most power. This is the vehicle we're supposed to be using to take down Virginia, right? And yeah. Three people on horses can easily just hijack it? Don't you think Virginia would have some type of, I don't know.
Yeah, horse? I feel like she's not dumb. She would figure that out too. And she has horses. So it's right. Like, yeah.
She's actually very intelligent.
Find the one spot where the guns can't shoot you and just ride in the blind spot until they run out of bullets and then climb in and push the guy out. That seems like, boy, I hope people in all those developing countries that we've hawkishly invaded aren't watching this either.
Right, because they're like, that's it? That's what it took? Okay.
Are we talking, I've returned. I didn't account for the cats that were on the battlefield as well, but I've scooted the cats out of the battlefield. I assume we're talking truck heist now? SWAT car heist?
Yeah, okay. I just wanted to know why that is supposed to be the vehicle that's going to take down Virginia when it was easily taken down by three people.
By horses. Yeah. I agree. But I guess like if it's an ambush, if you use it as an ambush, maybe. But also, there's a big blind spot with the gun. You just gotta like scoot right underneath the gun, and you're fine. You're good.
Like the thin canal at the end of the Death Star. You just gotta shoot it.
Yeah,
just like one small pistol. You know, it just shoot it in there, and then you'd be good to go. I guess that's what it took. It just took one person on a horse to just infiltrate it, and then kick the guy out.
It was pretty wild that they were like, "We've got the trucks, and now we can do it." It's like, hey, you just got the one. That doesn't seem like that's enough.
Yeah.
Well, it's the only one that exists, apparently. Yeah. That's why everybody keeps trying to steal it. That's why Filthy Woman stole it, and that's why Virginia stole it.
Easily stolen. Yeah. I don't know if this is going to be the end-all, be-all to our problems, you guys.
It's like maybe the real war that they're fighting is over who gets to keep that thing. Because
who's got the truck right now? Who's got it? Did Morgan and everyone get it, or does La Resistance still have it?
La Resistance still has it. Yeah. And I think we're kind of breaking away from them, so it's like, oh, now they have the truck. And I was like, yeah, we'll get it back. It's easy to steal.
Yeah.
Chappelle, if we went through all of this to reunite Dwight and Sherry for this episode, was it worth it?
No. I mean, they found the hot sauce, but they couldn't find the fork.
They couldn't find the fork.
Yeah. It wasn't enough. Really? I mean, I guess the beginning of the episode, if you're into that kind of thing, was very, like, romantic and lovey-dovey. He's, like, you know, telling the people, like, I'll meet up with you. Like, I'll be back on the clock in, like, 20 minutes. Just give me some time. I'm with my girl. You know, he's doing that thing. But then it just took a turn for maybe Dwight is supposed to stop Sherry from having this bad idea. I don't know. But ultimately, it sounds like they're going to end up helping Morgan build his thing that they're going to live in.
Yeah.
So, you know, for me, maybe not spend so much time on Dwight.
We Sherry. Also
it doesn't seem like it's going to take anything.
How is this? Is this drastically different from the John and June story, Jess? And I know that, like, in introducing Dwight last season, like, they tried to make that, like, and, like, they tried to, like, make that, like, parallel tracks with the two of them of, like, this is what we've got in common. We're both lovers, not fighters. We're both looking for something. And so, like, I guess, like, just by the basis of that, like, it was going to be a similar story. But I don't know. For me, like, isn't anything that you're going to get out of the Dwight and Sherry story something you're going to get out of the John and June story anyway?
Well, and you've heard my issues with the John and June story. Like, there was just nothing there. And this is also kind of, there's nothing there. I did like that they called back to the trauma they had shared under Negan. And, oh yeah, remember, Negan was a bad guy. He wasn't, like, badassedly killing Alpha and, you know, sticking up for the entire community that imprisoned him for 10 years. He was a bad dude, and he did some bad stuff, and it probably messed them both up. But I think, yeah, it's like, we are seeing the same beats of that story. You know, he loved, he lost, he found again, but she's not the same person, and she feels like it's not the real her that he loves. And I don't know. I think they shouldn't have just brought them together to separate them again. That's another thing. And I don't know, the Dwight and Sherry love story of it all is, it wasn't compelling to me in original Walking Dead. And also, like, I'm supposed to care about this big romantic love story when, like, the one thing we know about them is that his pet name for her is Honey, which is literally the thing every single person calls every other person they're romantically involved with.
Yeah.
Oh, that's real original. You called your girlfriend Honey.
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 Yeah. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
I call everybody Honey. I'm not even Southern. And I call the cat Honey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like, I think also that there is one episode for us to, like, get reacquainted with Dwight and Sherry's love story in the context of Fear the Walking Dead, and then they rip them off. I think you're on something there, Jess, with, like, it's just not enough time to, like, care anymore.
I don't care.
And it's a weird way to bring in, I think it was mostly in the service of bringing in these La Resistance guys, because I think we're going to see him again. I think they're going to Oceanside it at the end of the season.
I'm kind of maybe into it with La Resistance. Like, if there's, like, a future occasion where they just, like, show up masks on in a different context, like, now that we know that that's out there, like, that could be some pretty, but they're basically just the garbage people again. Or Oceanside. You know, it's just another errant crew here in the Walking Dead universe.
Yeah. I figure they're gonna show up, like, in the Battle of the Bastards.
Yes.
You know, yeah, exactly. They're gonna
and do the thing. But and then they're also kind of, you asked me before about Hornberger and Percy and if they were brought here to die. And I'm kind of thinking that these people were brought here to die.
Yeah.
They might fight in the war, but they're not going to make it, you know? Because we don't need them. We have the Alaskans, you know, the people from the timeshare. The ladies. Off the truck. I said, oh, look, we don't need you guys.
So yeah.
Well, yeah. I don't know. Those people don't have any guns. So there's that.
I did, call me wrong,
because I said we weren't ever going to see these people again until they did the Lannisters at Blackwater Bay. And they showed up immediately. And
they showed up. They were literally put in a truck. They're like, here, hang out in this truck for an episode. Be in a truck. Spend all this time in a truck. How 2 days in a truck at least, it feels like.
I mean, there's no bubonic plague there, so maybe they just felt a little bit safe.
I guess it's a step up. They had to
get out of the high rise because there's plague rats there.
Also, they were in the high rise for the entire apocalypse, so, like, just being in the truck the 2 days is really nothing. It's actually exciting, probably. A change of scenery. Yeah.
It's like going to the grocery store during COVID, you know?
Yes.
Sure, it's not the safest thing in the world, but I mean,
but it's different. It's shaking different. It up a little bit. Yeah.
You don't have to talk to anybody.
Put your purge masks on before you go. Yeah.
So that's how I felt. But I was very excited to see them because I didn't think we were going to see them ever again. So, I like to call them the Alaskans because I think the episode was called Alaska.
Yeah.
Because of that guy's. But, and I know they're not Alaskan, but, you know, high rise being called Alaska. So there you go.
Or the timeshare holders.
That too. Maybe they have a timeshare in Alaska.
Yeah, that's possible. Likely even, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
I think you're probably right, Chappelle, that these people are the strangers, the La Resistance is here to die. We're going to see them on the other side. They're going to flip the barricade around. The audience is going to be horrified. They're dead. And I think what's going to happen is, like, Dwight's going to be like, they're going straight for La Resistance. We got to get there. It might be too late. Morgan's like, we can't go yet. It's not the right time. And Dwight goes and he shows up and they're all dead. He's like, Sherry, honey, where are you? Only for the audience to know that, like, Sherry escaped because they can't kill any main characters off. But Dwight's now going to take a grudge against Morgan, and Virginia's going to re-recruit Dwight to her side, being like, if you just stayed with me, Sherry'd be alive. And now you should go back and turn against Morgan and be my spy. And it's like a return to the Neganist roots. that he had once upon a time, because nobody can ever really change in these shows.
No, they here's just where to, Sherry is.
Yeah.
Virginia has Sherry and is like, hey, you could just exactly. move into this nice house with Sherry and be my spy.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So
that's a good story. Oh my God, Josh, I can listen to you make this up all day.
That's what's going to happen.
We don't need to watch the rest of the season. We know what's going to happen.
It's a prediction. It's my prediction.
Yep. I'm going to send an email.
Yeah. Also, we got 20 solid minutes of Morgan talking about the kill switch again. And I'm like, oh, he's like, yeah, now I'm a new person now because my kill switch is on a light timer. Yeah. So it's not going off until 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
And then I can kill and then I have to turn it off again.
I've changed because I used to live and die by my alarm, but now I'm willing to hit snooze 5 times and sleep in a little bit. I don't mind a little bit of light killing in the morning.
Yeah, Morgan's losing me a little bit. I wish he'd pick a side. I wish he'd just either be a kill monster or don't be a kill monster.
Yeah.
But like this middle ground of like on this episode, he's not willing to kill anybody. But tomorrow he'll kill these two random strangers who has the information that he needs. And then on the next episode, we have this plan to kill the one person who's trying to kill him. But we're going to leave them alone. We're not going to let them do that because it's not the right time. Like, which one is it? Are we killing everybody or not?
There was that moment from Dwight being like, Morgan, I know you believe all life is precious. And I wanted Morgan to be like, about that.
Yeah. I'm a new person now because I don't kill except when I do kill.
Yeah, since we last saw each other, I beheaded a dude and I've also gutted another guy. I'm actually all right with it. If we got to do it, we got to do it. I know we spent literally an entire season of me like going out of my way to make sure the lady who poisoned all of our friends doesn't die by my hand at least. But no, I'm fine with it now. Like, I'm okay. I got an axe. What am I going to do but kill with this thing?
Right. They had to include that line in case you're one of the people who did not watch the show, but you started watching this season and you are trying to figure out why this person who just murdered two people in cold blood is now all of a sudden against murdering people in cold blood. So they have to say that exact sentence like, Morgan, we know that, you know, you don't do this and that's your creed. So you're acting normal, even though we saw you act completely against this last episode. They have to say the words so that some of us can follow, because I definitely was like, oh yeah, he is on that. But I also was thinking, no, he isn't.
He's past that. Things have changed. He's past that.
Morgan does what he wants. So sure.
I feel like I've been 16 different people in the last 20 minutes.
He says that pretty much. Yeah. I've been a lot of people. A lot of different people. Is Virginia going to buy the whole like act of like, let's put a wig on this mannequin and say it's us? Like, is she going to be like, oh, look, there's zombie Dwight and Al. Like, did she pay so much attention to their like aesthetics, their clothes, that this is going to be like, she's going to think at all about it? I think this is one of those things, Jess, where like, you think that people are thinking about you a lot more than they actually are.
She walks past a random walker and she's just like, oh, look, some zombies. Yeah. And every once is she like, I know that corduroy jacket. Elton, you know, so I guess that's what it is.
Yeah. Oh, it's a cute look. Oh, I think I know someone. It reminds me of someone.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Hornberger saw that emblem on the leather jacket and said, you know what? I think I've seen that somewhere. And then it was on the side of that butt. So maybe that's what she's going to do. She's like, I know those earrings.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah, those look like they came from Claire's. There's not a Claire's around here. Sherry, what do you think? So right. I don't know. The plan was better in their heads, you know, than it actually, you know, in actual emotion, it wasn't as great.
Yeah.
I'll say.
Yeah.
But it sounded cool.
It did.
Yeah.
So next week's episode of Fear the Walking Dead is called Bury Her Next to Jasper's Leg. I'm going to say it again. Bury Her Next to Jasper's Leg.
I really love the iambs in that. That's just it's got such a nice beat to it. It's like cellar door.
What do we think that's going to be all about? It looks like June show. They're going to get into some Jenna Elfman-ish stuff.
So, I'm sorry. You guys follow the show a lot closer than I do. So, you have to tell me, is Jasper a person?
I don't remember a Jasper.
There's no Jasper.
So, Oh, Jasper's
blessed
like,
as you.
He's the old prospector, right, Jasper?
Right. That's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, yeah. Is there a dead Jasper whose leg is like, Jasper's leg is over there. Well, just bury her over there next to that, you know, in the carnage. Or is Jasper's leg a place? Like, bury her in Jasper's leg, you know, that's what we call that end of the forest. Or, you know, that little cul-de-sac in the clearing in the woods. That's Jasper's leg because it's shaped like a leg. I'm really trying to get there, you guys.
So there is a Jasper in the Fear of the Walking Dead universe.
Well, he's dead.
He is deceased, and he's been deceased for a long time. Jasper was the last name of this is according to the Walking Dead Wikipedia, because my memory is not this long, certainly for Fear of the Walking Dead. Calvin Jasper, better known as Cal, was Nicholas Clark's best friend and drug dealer, and he was the primary antagonist in the pilot. Remember when Nick went after his friend and like ran him over or whatever, and then he turned into a zombie, and that was like how we know that zombies are a thing now. That guy's name was Calvin Jasper. So are we getting a throwback to Jasper, that Jasper next week, or is this good? Do you think that they forgot too that there was a Jasper?
Look, they forgot there was a Nicholas Clark. So
I forgot there was a Nicholas Clark. I miss old druggy Nick. This cannot be. If this is the same Jasper, I'm going to
leave it
off the rails next week.
I don't know. What if they have like a really touching tribute to like the old days of Fear the Walking Dead? I don't know who would be.
I guess Sarah McLachlan.
It would have to be Alicia would be the only one who's like, yeah, there was this guy. His name was Jasper. He got my brother hooked on drugs.
I will remember you.
I don't know how this would connect, but you asked me, is Jasper a character on the show? And Calvin Jasper is, also Jasper is a mentioned character in AMC's Fear of the Walking Dead. He is a resident of the logging camp. Nothing is known about Jasper's life prior to or as the outbreak began, and appears in season 6's Bury Her Next to Jasper's Leg. This is also part of the Walking Dead wiki. So it would seem likely that there will be a second Jasper.
I am calling coincidence on this, because there's a lot of people, like Walking Dead likes to have people the same name, just because they're like, well, the real world people have the same names. Like, this was like an actual Kirkman quote. He's like, I purposely made people have the same names because you meet people out in the world who have the same names. And I noticed that we have the credits for this episode note an Aussie and a Reg, and we've had both of those in regular Walking Dead.
Yeah.
A little lazy to me.
A little bit.
It's kind of lazy.
So, yeah. So, we'll find out next week. Is this a new Jasper? Is it a related Jasper? Could be part of the extended Jasper family.
Yeah, buried next to Bob's leg.
Buried next to Bob's leg. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Bob had a leg.
Yeah.
I thought they ate that leg and, I guess he got another leg.
He does have another leg.
Did they eat both of the legs?
I don't know. Maybe eventually. Yeah, I would eat both in one meal. Yeah,
sure. Drumsticks
for life. Also, it sounds like it's going to be a bad week for her, whoever she is. Bury her next to Jasper's leg. We're so concerned about Jasper's leg, we're not even thinking about her.
Who could die?
I don't think we necessarily know the person is dead. Maybe it's one of those expose scenarios.
Could be like punch
your way out of a box situation.
Yeah, Kill Bill Volume 2.
Yeah. Bury the bride next to Jasper's leg. All right, well, we'll find out who she is.
I don't feel great about that at all now that you call it that.
Yeah, it's scary.
Yeah, I don't like it. Well, because, you know, Morgan Jr. is still around.
Oh, no. Yeah.
It's not Morgan Jr.
I hope not. All right, well, we'll find out. That's next week. That's Fear the Walking Dead. That for me, kind of like the tepid week in both shows. Not my probably my least favorite week of the shows so far. Like if I think that this is probably my least favorite Fear of the Walking Dead so far, and this was definitely my least favorite World Beyond so far. So
usually one of those is good.
Usually I'm really enjoying at least one of them. This week I was kind of just like, I don't know. It was also a week, so you know, maybe just wasn't really feeling it. I
had other things. Yeah,
I had other things on the mind. But we'll be back. We've got our eye on Jasper's leg, and what's the World Beyond episode title for next week?
That's a good question.
Ooh, you ready?
Yeah.
Truth or dare? So.
Oh. Okay. Yep.
Get ready. We're gonna have to play next week. We'll have to do a round or two.
I wish all the episodes were named after children's games.
Yeah.
Because it's a kiddie show. But like Truth or Dare, and then next week's episode, like Spin the Bottle,
and then the episode after that, Mash.
Yeah, and then Skip It.
Yes.
Skip It would be a dope weapon in the apocalypse. Yeah,
that thing hurt. Have you ever skipped it? That thing,
of course, like, I've skipped it.
It looks like fun, but the end of that thing is like a big mole, a bowling ball.
It is. Yeah. The very best thing of all is there's a counter on this ball.
Yeah.
So, you know, they could do some work with the Skip It. They could have the next one be Bop It. Could be good.
Twist it, pull it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think Bop It would be a good weapon too.
I know we're running to the end of this podcast, but I can do this for hours.
Yeah, well, you can go. Yeah. Well, we'll have time next week.
I'm ready.
Let's see how they incorporate Truth or Dare into the world of World Beyond. And then if we're talking about how we're manifesting that show, let's figure out some other games that we'd like to see episodes be derived from. This will also be
entertaining because... Yes. Because we all come from like slightly different generational places. So like I'm too old for the Skip It.
You're too old for Skip It?
Skip It came out. I was right on the cusp of being too old for it and we just never got one. So I've never used
it. Skip It was great.
Yes, what is your childhood game of choice that we're going to name the next episode after?
Yeah.
Well, we got this one. We still have it actually because my kid is playing with it now. It is called a Thing-a-Ding-Ding. So I'm going to Thing-a-Ding-Ding.
Thing-a-ding-ding. All right. Well, I'm not going to look that up until next week. So don't forget to tell us about the thing-a-ding-ding because I really want to know
all
more.
About it.
I want to know more.
That's the sound Iris made when she was falling out of that window.
poor Iris.
You called it light parkour and I almost died. I was holding it in like, be normal.
It didn't work out.
Be normal on this podcast.
Some people can parkour, others cannot. And I'm not throwing stones, believe me. In that situation, I'm done. In most of these situations, I didn't make it. I didn't make it out from under the boat.
I don't think I made it out of the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, I didn't get very far. The sky fell and I fell with it.
Directly on me.
Yeah. All right, Chappelle, where can people find you? What are you up to?
Nothing. I'm just doing this with you guys, and I'm tweeting. Please, if you follow me on Twitter, just know that is a parody account of my life. Don't read anything you see and think that this is something that I should, you know, hold near and dear to Chappelle's personality, because a lot of times I'm just tweeting to entertain myself. And so if you want to be entertained, you can follow me at Chappelle's_show on Twitter. But talk to me about Big Mo, please.
Someone do the work. Someone let us know. Come on.
Yeah. We have some journalists out here listening to this podcast. Do the work. But aside from that, no. If you see me say something ridiculous, there are vicious rumors right now about something that I might have said on the Twitch stream.
Oh, man.
If you heard I said it, I did. I sure did. But just don't want you to hold me accountable for it. So there you go.
All right,
Check out my Twitter or don't.
I'll do some digging around. Jess, where can people find you? What do you got going on?
Well, I'm also on this very network. I'm also covering the aforementioned Star Trek Discovery with Mike Bloom over on Rob's podcast. You can find me doing two weekly shows about The Amazing Race, including there's one regular and one nonsense. So, you know, I love some nonsense because you're listening to this. And you can find me on the Twitter and the Instagram at Haymaker Hattie.
All right. I'm Matt Round Howard. Lots of stuff happening on Pusher Recaps, this podcast, Mando, Everything is Super. Hang in there. Down the hatch. Did I say that? I can't remember. I'll say it again. Down the hatch. There's a lot happening, Disco. So many things. And then there's all the stuff behind the part of the Patreon. Join up. Do it. If you didn't do it yet, you should. Community building, Pusher Recaps, Theater, Watching with Wiggler. It's all happening. We'll be back next week. Truth or Dare. Jasper's Leg. Sounds like next week is going to be a time. I can't wait. It's going to be fun. We'll be back. Bye.
Bye.